When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
We are in our 8 o'clock hour of the morning shift. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. I'm just here to create chaos, which happened in the edition of Mic'd Up and Which One Wednesday.
Did you guys notice that she went all Rob Manfred on us and was like, here's a golden at bat rule? She just threw it out there and was like, anybody can step up to the plate. Oh, Day-Day.
I didn't really even know the own rules to like what I was doing. I was just like, let's just throw this out here and see if it sticks.
He's getting a lot of fanfare on the socials right now.
Definitely got an answer.
Yeah.
I can also confirm that he said he got many text messages.
Day-Day did?
Yeah, he did.
He walked out. We need to go get him back.
He said he'll come back. He just got it. He went to go grab something off the printer, but he said he'll come back.
All right, he better. He's going to have to.
He's got an answer for what he said.
Convenient time to go to the printer.
Yeah, really?
I mean, he sat there during the whole commercial break. Then he went to the printer as the music comes on.
All right, I'm going to go straight to the lines. I don't know if this is going to be a rap battle related, but Squidbillion in Dallas, Georgia. What's going on, Squidbillion?
Morning, everybody. Morning, Elder Squid.
Sir.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not qualified to comment on it, so I'll just talk about the outside you get. Two thoughts on that. First of all, everything looks worse in slow motion. I watched the hit in slow-mo, and I didn't realize that Trevor Lawrence was lounging on the ground for about 20 minutes, and Shaiir went to the sidelines to grab a sledgehammer to, you know, take a tee off a golf club. You know, that's what it looked like in slow motion, and I didn't see that in real time. Yeah. But now, in all seriousness, like, these guys are running straight at each other, and Shaiir's job is to put the guy on the ground. And if Lawrence had been a running back, hadn't given himself up, it's a hard hit, but a clean hit to the lower chest. And what is Shaiir supposed to do? Especially when some quarterbacks do like the whole fake slide, like Josh Allen used to do. I mean, he's playing Patrick until the whistle. Holmes, he's doing his job. And I get that. I feel bad for Lawrence. It's a hard hit and it sucks, but I don't know. In real time, he can't do anything to change the trajectory there.
Yeah,
love the show, guys. I'm a big fan of Tiffany taking over segments where she has no idea what she's doing. I'm a fan.
Woo! Thank you.
I'll say this. I think he made some good points about that play. The thing that took it over the top and the thing that makes it extremely dirty is if he sees the player going down and he puts his arms out to wrap, right, like we've seen guys do, and maybe you make chest-to-head contact with his chest, hits Trevor Lawrence. If he's going to, like, he's wrapping up, instead, he's going with those forearms. And the forearm shiver along with his history is why the suspension come down, and I think that's part of the problem. The fight and stuff is just you're defending your guy.
I'm completely on the opposite side of this. Because what happens when you're acting like you're putting your arms out like he's going to bear hug him? When
tackle.
You wrap up and tackle, what do you lead with?
Well, you lead with your shoulder. But he led with his forearms.
Okay, well, I'd rather him lead with the forearms and his hands
his
than
forearm
his shoulder.
Shiver.
If he puts the shoulder into Trevor Lawrence's head, it's going to be even worse.
He's dirty. It's dirty.
There's a lot of grandstanding going on in the studio right now from across this side of the table.
What are you talking about? I had his back in a little bit of it.
You said kick him out of the league forever.
No, I didn't. I never said that.
All right, we're going back
to
the lines.
Making stuff up
we
now.
We got Chief waiting on us. Good morning, Chief. I probably should have saved this for when Day-Day was back, because he's still not back yet.
Well, yeah, what's happening, Chief?
What's happening, Chief?
Good morning, All American and Miss Blackman.
Good morning.
And, of course, my tribal chief, the fearless one.
Sir.
First of all, before I get to my thing with Dayline, I got something for him. Day-Day, that was the greatest answer in the world. That was, because you had to be brave to say that.
Can we go find Day-Day? Garrett, I'm sorry. I'm like looking at you. Is he not back? He disappeared.
Yeah,
okay.
That's all right.
That was one of those answers when you stand up in a meeting, everybody wants to ask, you know, everybody thinking the same thing, but nobody wants to say anything. Right. That was great. Anyway.
That's exactly what that was.
Let me get into this with my tribal chief. Tribal chief, your co-host over there, the All-American, he's a big guy, and I'm about 6'3 and 250 pounds myself, and I'm going to tell you something. When that little girl is born, you're going to fall to your knees.
Hey.
As a matter of fact, you stick a fork and you're done. Because
done.
I'm telling you right
done,
now,
son.
You're done. It's a wrap. Tiffany, you know this. You a girl, you have a father. Only difference is you have a sister that you have to share your dad with. So it's a little different.
She thinks
when you had
favorite.
That
she's
one
not.
Daughter. Yeah. With that one daughter, though, oh, my God.
Yeah, he's
you're going to fall to your knees, Tribal Chief. She's going to take over the nation.
Hey,
I'm out.
Hey, he's donezo, man. Good call.
I appreciate that, Chief.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Frank in Fayetteville. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, Mafia, stand up.
I'm your hater.
I have no comments on Day-Day's comments, by the way. No comments. I have one request and one wake-up call. My request is, you know, tonight I'm taking the wife out to the Three Doors Down Creed concert, right? So maybe we do a little Creed Three Doors Down music intro coming out today, you know, behind the scenes. Yeah. My wake-up call, though, unfortunately, is for my wife. And any wives out there that make leftovers after Thanksgiving,
be careful.
Come Monday, those leftovers need to be in the trash.
Oh,
I don't want more leftovers on the Monday after Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Hey, don't you make your own food?
That's a little bit of a hot take.
I do cook a lot.
I'm just kidding.
Calm down.
I'm just kidding. You left it open. I had to tee off. Come on.
You're a brave man for even saying your wife didn't
make the
call. Look, man, I try to refrain from that. Yeah, but I don't know. Is Monday? Monday's the cutoff line for Thanksgiving leftovers?
Plies did a whole thing on this. I think it was last year. I got to go pull it up. But I think he had a whole theory on how long you can actually keep leftovers for.
I don't know, man.
I'm a firm believer in all food gets a week in the fridge.
A week?
Yeah. Most everything gets a week. And if you don't eat it in a week, then I think you need to throw it out. Because you don't – I mean –
Yeah, I would say
I've gotten
Monday's
food poisoning over some bad asparagus before, and I don't tempt fate.
What a bad thing to get food poisoning.
I was, you know what the crappy thing was? I was dieting hardcore. It was like chicken and green beans, chicken and asparagus. It was right before we went on a vacation.
What does asparagus smell like when you throw it up?
I hate asparagus. Sorry.
I'm going to tell you something. I didn't just throw it up, brother. I'll tell you what that smelled like if you want.
Frank in Fayetteville, I wasn't trying to come at you. You left it open, so I felt like I had to, it presented itself. So, you know, sometimes you have to do what you have to do.
Do what you got to do.
In those moments. All right, let's go to Frank and McDonough. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, everybody, how you doing?
What's up, Frank?
Hey, I have a wake-up call for Mike. I mean, you say you hate teams getting an automatic bid, but it seems like every other year Alabama gets an automatic bid. They've got more automatic bids than any other team, period, including this year. So give me the scenario where Alabama's out. Is it Clemson beating SMU so both of them can get in, or Miami sneak in something? Because I mean, they are trying real hard to get Alabama, and I get it. It's ratings. It's Vegas. So let's just call it what it is.
Yeah. Well, first of all, good call.
Uh-huh.
I don't
call out.
I don't hate.
It's a great call.
I don't
phenomenal
hate
call.
Bids. I don't have a problem at all with automatic bids.
Shouldn't. Your team has one every year.
Yeah, that's it. I sat in here earlier, about an hour ago, and said if SMU loses to Clemson, I still think they should get in over Alabama. And that's how I feel. That's really how I feel. The people that I could have the argument, I don't think Ole Miss or South Carolina have an argument over Bama. I really don't. But I think Miami would if they really wanted to go to task. But they've lost two times in the last, 3 weeks?
Ole Miss that's a tricky one because of their losses. I'll say this. I think it's one I'm going to ask Jerry Palm. Hey, Jerry, how did Alabama get the automatic bid? Like, they automatic, you know, have it every year. The year
they get the benefit of the doubt
did
every
they,
time?
Did they pay, like, is it like a subscription that they have to the college football playoff where they're in every year?
I'm trying to get these last few callers in. Let's go to Anthony in Covington. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, good morning. Papa Squid, how are we doing this morning, sir?
Good,
Papa.
Sir. You?
Doing well. All-American, how are we doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm having a great morning, buddy.
And our Olympian, how are we doing this morning, Ms. Tiff?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, Opie, hit me with that. Wham, wham, wham.
Wham, wham, wham.
There we go. All right, so it is the holiday season. Everybody's talking about leftovers. Tiff has obviously chose violence this morning, telling men to make their own food. Goodness. It's fantastic. I love it. Y'all say too much on the radio, and I'm here for it. All right, so with the holiday season around, I want to take a moment. I don't think we're talking about it enough, man. How about these Hawks, right?
Dude.
We got Barrier Thief out there, Defensive Player of the Month. When's the last time we had a Defensive Player of the Month the Hawks, man? Like, I think with the holiday season around, we need to be changing the name of this team. And great holiday movie with Home Alone. I think they need to be called the Sticky Bandits, man. Like, it's crazy to go to a game and see these guys, like, playing team defense. That's the big thing. Like, the switches, they're great. They're talking. They're communicating. Like, and anyone who has ever said, oh, Trey's a terrible defender, no. Like, if you give him people who want to play defense around, Trey wants to play defense. Yes, he's undersized, right? If he gets down low, he's going to be at a disadvantage. But the switches, Zachary Richache, absolutely fantastic pick, looking to be like the real deal. His scoring's not there yet, but that's going to come in time. But the defensive awareness, the length, man, I'm telling you, we got a first round in the NBA Cup with the Knicks.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
I love that. And I'm actually ashamed that we got this far in the show without talking about Dyson Daniels winning the Defensive Player of the Month. Like, he's right. When's the last time that happened for the Atlanta Hawks?
Let's discuss more when we come back here, in addition to getting you back to some...
We got Jerry Palm coming.
So we can get back to the Hawks stuff before we do Life of Squid. But up next, we've got Jerry Palm. He's a sports writer for CBS, college football, all over it. He joins us next. And here's that creed for you, Jerry. Jerry and, or not Jerry, Frank in Fayetteville. The disrespect, I'm sorry. All right, we'll be right back here on the morning shift.
You think Day-Day thinks something about Creed?
92.9 The Game.
Does he hate Creed too?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
We are back here on the morning shift, and we are going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find college football writer for CBS Sports, Jerry Palm, joining us here on the show. Good morning, Jerry.
Morning. How are y'all?
We're doing good. Some of us better than others. These guys have been debating. You know, we have an Alabama, you know, All-American here on our show,
don't
Jerry.
Don't try to get me in a fight already, okay? I very clearly said I wasn't sure they should, JJ, it should be the one in, Jerry. So I don't, everybody's picking fights with me, and I've been the one guy that's been like, I don't know if they deserve it.
But isn't it just more fun with a little bit of chaos, Jerry?
Yep. Well, there was a case for Miami. I actually had projected Miami to finish ahead of Alabama. And the case, though, is, you know, better record and the quality of their losses, especially when you consider Alabama with a no-show at Oklahoma, and what their worst performance in 20-something years since Nick Saban was coaching on the other sideline. But it's, you know, Alabama's case is they've played a very good schedule. They have some quality wins, you know, and despite their record, they really tested themselves this year much more than Miami was able to. So, you know, that's Alabama's case, and, you know, the committee went with Alabama. I don't really have a problem with it. It's, you know, they had to pick one, and the case for Alabama is a good case.
Well, Jerry, I'm glad you said that, because I was there for a couple of years under Mike Shula, transitioned to Nick Saban, right? And I was telling them this morning, I don't remember us ever losing by more than two scores, even under Mike Shula. So, like, to your point, it's been go back 20-plus years. And that's been my biggest problem with Alabama. I'm like, if they're not in, I don't think they deserve it because of Oklahoma no-show. You just don't get beat by three touchdowns to a bad Oklahoma team and then say, hey, put
it in. Yeah, actually, the last time it happened, Mike Shula was coaching. It was, I want to say, a 27-3 loss to LSU.
There you go.
In 2003 with Nick Saban on coaching LSU.
There you go. So that's Mike's first year at Alabama. Yeah, so there you go. So I guess my next question is, if SMU were to slip up against Clemson, is SMU that team that would then take Alabama's spot in the top 12?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think so. I think SMU looks a lot more like Miami at 11-2 than they look like Alabama. Their profiles would be very similar. They'd have a couple of good losses and no wins over anybody in the field, and maybe nobody even in the rankings. I don't know. They beat Syracuse because Syracuse crawled in the rankings at the end, but I think their best win, if I'm not mistaken, is Duke, and I haven't got it in front of me. But I think that if Miami's behind Alabama at 10-2, I think, you know, SMU's profile looks a whole lot more like Miami's, and that they're probably behind Alabama as well. The problem for SMU is losing to, you know, a Clemson team that's in the mid-teens of the rankings, with 17, something like that. And, you know, that would be considered, you know, something of an upset. And when you get upset in your conference championship game, you are going to fall. More often than not, you actually fall behind the team that beat you. But with Clemson sitting there with three losses already, that's not likely. But I don't see – everybody says SMU stays in if they lose. I don't think that's a very clear-cut thing at all. And I would not at all be surprised if they fell behind Alabama and maybe even Miami, although the fact that they're 11-2 and Miami's 10-2 might keep them ahead of Miami, but their profile is very similar to Miami's with another loss on it.
All right, Jerry Palm joining us from CBS Sports. Jerry, I understand the loss that South Carolina had to Alabama and the brutal one that they actually suffered to Ole Miss, which is, I think, might be the one that kept them down. But we've always heard in the past, and I go back and I've asked other people the exact same question about, hey, you know, the hottest team sometimes is sitting right there and they get left out because a computer formula leaves out 2007 Georgia, right? Or, you know, they don't have a metric that other the only four teams get you in, conference title, that kind of stuff. Does South Carolina have an argument being potentially the hottest team in the country with wins over, you know, teams like Texas A&M at the time was a one-loss team that was high up in the top. They were 10th, I think, Clemson being a team. Does South Carolina have an argument, or do those losses to Ole Miss and Bama just completely say no?
Well, I mean, you're mentioning a lot of things that aren't really criteria, like what teams were like when you originally played them. They measure your schedule against what they are now, not what they were at the day you played them. There's no game time rankings. There's no game time consideration at all as to what that team looked like at that time. Being hot now is also not criteria. You're evaluated on your entire season. There's no recency bias to what they do. But this committee, you know, one of their criteria is head-to-head. And it's one criteria that they have tried very hard to respect when they can. You're not always able to do it. But when they can, they have tried to respect head-to-head. So they lost to Mississippi. They lost to Alabama. I never thought for a minute they were going above either of those teams because of those games.
We've got CBS sports writer covering college football, the bracketologist, Jerry Palm, joining us here on the morning shift on the wade4.com hotline. Jerry, so I was trying to look at your projections, or I was pulling them up. I'll tell you right now, we know Georgia is at 5 and Ohio State at 6. So do you feel comfortable with that, knowing the loss that Ohio State just had against a Michigan team that's not the same Michigan that we've seen in the past?
Yeah, I think that was what I expected of Ohio State. Really the only projection that I actually had Miami ahead of Alabama, but otherwise I think my projections were correct for the top eight. I have no problem with Ohio State being there. You have to remember, this is the team with two top 10 wins in Penn State and Indiana, played a good schedule. They're the one team in the Big Ten that got a good, you know, good among the good teams anyway, that got a good schedule that they could prove themselves with. The Michigan loss obviously hurts, and that's why they are where they are. But, you know, when you take the season as a whole, Ohio State is probably where they belong.
Yeah. Jerry, I guess our listeners down here in Atlanta, one of the big things we've been kind of focused on, Texas and Georgia are rematching, obviously, in Atlanta, this coming up Saturday for the SEC championship. Can you make the assumption that the loser of this game is still locked into hosting a home playoff game on December 20th?
Well, Texas, I think, certainly would be. And I don't really expect Georgia to suffer much either in a loss, unless they get drilled, unless, you know, Texas just runs them. Then maybe Georgia could fall a little bit. But historically speaking, these championship games, for the committee, when the lower-ranked team loses a competitive game, the committee is very forgiving of that. If they get blown out, that's different. If there's the lower-ranked team wins, then that's different too. But if the lower-ranked team loses a competitive game, there's very little negative impact for that team.
Well, so what would happen if Oregon loses then? Is Oregon going to just fall right to 5? Would Notre Dame stay? Because Notre Dame right now at 4, if they lose, I mean, they're not going to lose. They're not going to play. So when the conference champions come in, they're going to just slide down one most likely. But could Oregon slide them down a little bit if Oregon was to lose and kind of slide everything down? Or because, I mean, that's what I'm looking at now, because with Penn State sitting at 3.
I would be surprised if Oregon fell below Notre Dame just because of the schedule that they've played. Notre Dame's schedule is not great. A&M at the beginning of the year. Did A&M stay in the rankings? I don't think they did.
They're out.
So they lost to Northern Illinois. They didn't beat a ranked team, but A&M and USC were probably the two best teams they played. And yeah, you know, given the kind of season that Oregon had, the Penn State would finish ahead of them, but I don't think they fall any lower than that.
Jerry, we appreciate the insight. It's been fun having you on this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
All right, that was CBS Sports' Jerry Palm. He is all over college football. You can check out his articles on CBSSports.com. You can also follow him on X at JP Palm CBS. He's a bracketologist, all the things.
Yeah. Tiff, you tried to throw up controversy on that man, and I've been very friendly to the non-Alabama fans about where they sit in this thing.
Look,
okay?
I'm just, you know.
I think you deserved it.
Things just come to me this morning, and I just say them. Can't control
it.
I honestly cannot
believe
you caused a lot of controversy on today's show, actually.
Tiffany is letting her intrusive thoughts win today.
You know what it is, guys? I rode the Peloton this morning.
Is that what it is?
It's a cold shower. It makes your brain think differently.
cold plunge, Tiff.
Them endorphin Tiff.
I like Peloton,
Tiff different today.
So I didn't do it yesterday. You notice the difference? I think I was much meaner yesterday. All right. When we come back here on the morning shift, we'll talk Hawks and some honors. We'll also hit a life of squid. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the morning shift. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. And yes, your defensive player of the month comes from the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA. Of course, that's what we're talking about, Dyson Daniels. So big win. But congrats to him, and a big news for the Hawks.
Dyson Daniels right now looks like he could be the guy that has turned the tide for, I didn't want to use that word.
I know you didn't, but I just put it in there for
he's
you.
He's turned the tide. Thank you, though. Turned the tide for the Hawks trade woes, because it finally looks like as an organization that has lost trade after trade after trade, Dyson Daniels looks like he has changed that.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It is so, it's.
You look elated.
I am, and I'm finding trouble finding the words, because we've just been losers, and this organization is with trades, and we finally figured out a way to win a damn trade. It just feels good.
The best part is you saw it on the floor, mano a mano, the other night.
Yeah.
And you were like, this is very clearly tilted towards the Hawks winning this trade.
You know what? Maybe I will cry on my daughter's porn, because I almost want to cry over this Dyson Daniels trade these days. Anyways, we got bigger business to tend to.
Way bigger. Huge. I'd say huge. All right, all right, all right. How long is that intro?
How about those Kennesaw State Athletics?
I got something. Hey. Yeah, I got stuff to say. Well, by the way, I love walking in and seeing him excited about the NBA.
Isn't it like
my little Southern buddy over there talking NBA? He's right, man.
I told him the wagon was closed, man. Like, it's closed.
Did I tell you what Bill Simmons said on his podcast? Bill Simmons, who wrote an 800-page book on the NBA called The NBA Book, who said, "How do you think the New Orleans Pelicans feel about trading away?" This is his words. A hybrid of Kawhi Leonard and Scottie Pippen in Dyson Daniels.
Woo!
That's what he called him.
That's,
I mean, it's a little early to say, but.
That's strong.
There's nobody that likes that trade in New Orleans now looking at Dyson Daniels, who now has a chance. And haven't we seen that at sports? You've probably seen it, Tiff, and at any level, right? Sometimes guys just need a coach to give them a chance.
Yeah,
they're sitting there, right?
A new place to play and do what
he's averaging 5 a game, and he can't get looks. And even if he's in the game, he's not being told you can shoot. And Quinn Snyder says, "You're going to keep playing and you're going to keep shooting." And now New Orleans is like, "Oh, damn, dude. This guy was right in our building.
No bueno."
And we got Mr. Pound the basketball, DeJounte Murray, right?
I think 7 points in 38 minutes from DJ Murray.
It's also who he is.
I know.
Like, ball, he is
the pull-up jumpers, I was like, thank God I don't have to worry about that this year.
You know how much some of these algorithm coaches are like, why are you taking mid-range jumpers?
All the time.
Ever. Like Joe Mazzulla in Boston?
Yes.
That guy would never play. He's like, what don't you understand about the shot 8 feet back is worth 1.5 times what you took? Anyway, I got a quiz for you guys. You're going to get to play along here. Texas is coming to town.
Woo!
Texas is coming to town. Get ready. I would say the restaurants and bars will be replete. Is that the word? Replete?
Sounds right. Sure.
With a lot of oil money. And got some oil money coming through here, right?
I'm sure Bijan has a contingent in town.
Yeah, private parties and whatnot.
Google that word.
So if I had to say the the Mount Rushmore of Texas sports, I'm going to include the entire state, okay? I'm going to give you like 10 guys. You tell me if I leave anybody out,
okay?
Right?
All right.
This is anybody that was attached to, and I'm going to include Houston and Dallas in there, right?
And it's tough.
Earl Campbell, Tony Dorsett, Kevin Durant, Emmett Smith, Roger Staubach, Nolan Ryan, Lance Armstrong, Vince Young, Dirk Nowitzki, Ricky Williams, Troy Aikman, Jose Altuve, to name a few.
Babe Didrikson Zaharis, I think, is a famous Texan athlete. She's a famous golfer.
It doesn't have to be from Texas because he has Dirk on that list. Anyone that played
in Texas.
I don't know what you just said, but I'm trying to talk about
the Tyler Rose, Earl Campbell. Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'd say Earl Campbell plays Oilers, the best, most famous Oiler of all time, and the most famous Longhorn of all time.
Yes.
So he's on Mount Rushmore, right?
Absolutely.
Who else gets on?
Dirk's
always on it for me.
Who, say again?
I love Dirk. I love that whole match.
So Dirk brings him a title. He beats the big three. He has the game in Miami against Ray Allen, LeBron James, and Dwayne Wade, right? Mm-hmm. And remember, they lose the next year, too. If Bosch doesn't pull that offensive rebound pass to Ray Allen for the three, that team that's like 3-4-5, remember they come out? They lost year one. Dirk Nowitzki was
dominant.
Hero status, right?
I'm going to tell you my pick by giving you a Nick Saban quote. How about this? The guy was the hardest working player I ever coached, but he couldn't stop smoking dope. Ricky Williams, that played for Nick in Miami, was like literally, I think, Nick's favorite player of all time. Of all time. I love the guy. I thought Ricky would be at the top of my list.
I think Emmitt Smith has to be the number one Cowboy of all time. I mean, leads the NFL in all-time rushing, delivers three Super Bowls, is the biggest star on the most famous Dallas team. Staubach didn't win as many. Yeah, so I put Emmitt.
So
Vince Young
guys.
Won them a title.
Yeah.
One of the greatest college football games ever played.
I think Nolan Ryan has to be on the list for people.
It's hard, though,
because he played so many places, but he's a part of the ownership group now down there.
He's unreal.
I mean,
he is iconic status, but again, these other guys delivered titles, right? Although Earl Campbell
did
not.
Did you say Roger Clemens?
I did not say Roger Clemens.
Clemens is tough for me because his career was such a Northeastern.
But he ends up in Houston at the end.
It was the Houston thing where he was like, I'll show up midway through the year. I'm just going to live here on my ranch. I'll see you in a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
So throw bullpens to his son.
I don't know. Guaranteed that Earl Campbell's on and Emmitt Smith is on. Everybody else, I think. I think you have to talk about Dirk and Vince. Troy Aikman, Tom Landry.
I want to go Ricky, but I don't know if you can put three running backs on.
You mentioned Lance.
How do you put Ricky Williams ahead of Vince Young? I mean, how do you put Vince? Vince Young delivers the title.
Yeah,
but Ricky was there 4 years, broke records. I mean, he was.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Somebody to kick around, right?
Let me ask you a question real quick on this list. You mentioned Lance Armstrong.
Yes.
Where does he rank with the disgrace that he went through with the scandal?
Because I mean,
he misremembers.
Changes everything. Yeah. You watch the documentary. It took him so long, just like Pete Rose, bold face, stare in the face, do 100 interviews. I never bet on baseball. Maybe I bet on baseball. Lance Armstrong burying everybody around him
and destroying
careers. So no, he's out.
That's the worst part.
He's out.
What was the Brewers outfielder name that did the same thing through every single person?
Was it Braun?
Ryan Braun.
Yeah.
Through every single person under the bus.
And he's not a Texas guy. Don't forget Rafael Palmeiro with this crap he pulled.
We got Rusty Manziel talking signing day.
Big day for him.
And a ton on, obviously, Sandy's in the house, a bunch on the playoffs, all kinds of other stuff.
All right. That's it for us here in the Morning Shift. Steakhouse is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.